Good morning, Crossings friends and Crossings family. So glad to be here with you today. Whether you're in one of the rooms here at OKC, at Edmond, Mayfair, the Community Center, Bethany Children's Center, at one of the prisons across the state, or you're joining us online. It is a thrill, like I said, to be in the house of the Lord. The psalmist said, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." I might as well warn you. Yes, let's give him praise. I'm okay with giving him praise. Listen, when I was early, I used to have to wait for the song, and I used to have to wait for a certain thing to shout hallelujah. I'm at the age now, if I can put my feet on the floor, I can shout hallelujah for anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a hallelujah day just to be able to get up out of the bed. I am thrilled to be here. So I am just so glad that all of you are worshiping with us. And, you know, I was just reflecting as I was preparing the message for today. I was reflecting on the many things I like about Oklahoma. One of the things I like about Oklahoma is I really like the changing seasons. I really do, because, you know, I know some of us are joking that, you know, sometimes the seasons change in the season. You know what I'm talking about. But I really like to change in season. You know, just as it's getting too hot for me, we get to fall. And just as, we get to fall and, you know, I want a little bit more cooler weather, we get to winter, and then here comes spring. I just love it. And one of the things I love about the changing seasons, particularly here in Oklahoma, is how trees look different every season. I have some trees at my home, and in the spring, you know, they blossom. In the summer, they flourish. In the autumn, you know, they shed leaves. And in the winter, some of those trees stand bare, so bare that it looks like they are dead. Yet through every season, it's still the same tree. Is still rooted in the same ground. You know, there's a sense in which our lives are similar to that. We experience seasons of growth, seasons of abundance, seasons of loss, and seasons of waiting. And some of us, we're in different places. We're in different seasons. Where those of you listening to me, wherever you are right now, you are in different seasons, maybe even than the person sitting next to you. But no matter what season we're in, we must remain rooted in God and faithful to his call. And so with that, I invite you to Galatians chapter number 6. And I'm going to begin my reading at verse number 9. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up." Verse 10. "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith." I want to speak to you for the next few minutes on the topic serving God through every season. Serving God through every season. This letter to the Galatian churches that Paul writes, he takes a very personal approach with them. And we know that because approximately a third of its content covers his faith development, spiritual journey, and his ministry. In this letter, Paul makes it clear that the relationship we have with God through Christ is because of God's grace. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. Paul covers multiple aspects of the life of those who are in Christ. And one of the aspects he covers is that everyone who is a follower of Christ is called to serve. Everyone is called to serve. See, serving God gives us the ability to experience a deeper purpose in life beyond personal successes and beyond personal possessions. want you to appreciate the wonderful opportunity God gives us as followers of Christ. In a society preoccupied with selfishness and self-promotion, we get to stand out as people who serve others. Now, that's one of the things I like about summer, is that we have some service opportunities in the summer. And as we're serving, we are planting seeds in the lives of others. We are investing in the lives of others. So seasons in life may change, assignments may change, and circumstances may change, but God's call to serve him faithfully remains the same. I'm reminding myself today, and you could tell earlier, that whatever season I'm in, it is a season to praise and to serve God. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, really doesn't matter what I'm facing, whatever season I'm in, it is a season to praise God and to serve him, because God is faithful. God remains the same. And since God remains the same, I can be faithful and I can praise him and serve him, because God is God today, yesterday, and forever. One of the things I get a chance to do, in addition to serving as the community center location pastor, I get a chance to serve on the team who lead missions ministries. And missions ministries, for those of you who may not be that familiar with it, that includes our free clinic, it includes our community center, it also includes prison ministry, it includes local mission. These are ways to serve, but it also includes global missions. And one of the things I want to highlight, again, this is just missions ministry. That's one of the things that I just thank God for being part of the Crossings family, is we have so many places and ways to serve within the Crossings family. And I'm just telling you about missions, and there's so many other opportunities. But one of the things I highlight is there is a local missions element that really has an international impact, and it is Feed the Hunger. And in 2025, if you'll just take a look at those statistics, in 2025, July of 2025, you packed over 700,000 meals. You fed almost 3,000 kids for a year because you did good, because you served. You, as volunteers, over 3,000 of you served in last year's packathon. And for me, I'm doing it real quickly, but it's like, it's so amazing, it's just difficult to visualize, but let me help you. So what I'm trying to say to you is that OKC served, people served at Edmond, people served at Mayfair, people served at the community center, people served at John Lilly Correctional Center. People served at Eddie Warrior Correctional Center. And people packed meals even at Jess Dunn. We don't have a picture of Jess Dunn. All of these people came together. All of you came together in all of these locations, including in prisons, came together to pack over 700,000 meals in a matter of 1 week. Listen, I just say thank you to all of you who were praying, planning, preparation, packing, and any other way that you served. And just to applaud you and to give you the privilege and give you your flowers, the way we're going to give you your flowers, that we're going to turn around and do it again next month. All right? That's how we say thank you. Let's do this again. We're going to do another over 700,000 meals just 1 month from now, and we need you. We're asking you to be a part of this ability to serve locally, but impact internationally. We'll be sending meals to Bangladesh. We'll be sending meals to children in Ghana. And we can only do that, for, like I showed you in those pictures, if all of us come together and pack those meals in about a month. I am doing my best to say to you and also to applaud you for understanding that it is a privilege to serve. I said it's a privilege. That's what Paul is telling us here in Galatians 6. That really, it is a privilege to serve. See, God gives us the time, space, and the freedom to serve. Did you know not everyone in the world has the freedom to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ without some sort of threat on their lives? And did you know that not everyone who has received Christ in some of these places in the world has the freedom to serve like Paul is instructing us to serve without threat on their lives? So it is a privilege to serve. And I'll say to you that serving God in any season and in any way is a privilege. We get to serve. Every aspect and every element that I'm able to be a part of here within the Crossings family and even beyond, I personally count it a privilege. Though my team members always talk about how we get to do what we do. We get to do. You get to serve the way you serve in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, because serving through doing good works, they are seeds that share hope. And we've had multiple people share with us just how the service we've rendered, the service you've rendered, gave them hope in that moment, allowed them to see that there was something beyond and someone beyond their current circumstance and their current situation. But see, not only is it a privilege to serve, God does something else. God prepares us to serve. In Ephesians chapter number 2 in verses 8 through 10, it says, Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." I'll stop there at verse number 8. The reason Paul is writing this is because there were people who had received the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. They have received Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. But then there were other teachers who came behind Paul and others who planted the churches and told them, "Now you gotta adhere to the law or what you have is not real. You gotta adhere to circumcision or you're not really saved." So Paul emphatically lets us know that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves. We can't earn it. We don't have enough money in the bank to pay for it. There's nothing we can do that's so wonderful that would cause us to warrant the gift that God gives us for free to be saved. God gives it to us because he loves us. But look at what he says then in verse 9, "Not by works, so that no one can boast." Then he says in verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork." I say, you're God's handiwork. Those who are following Christ, you are the work of God. You're God's, one translation said, you're God's masterpiece. And guess what God does with his masterpiece, you his masterpiece. He says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, being saved is the start. We are created in Christ to do good works. I guess the best way I could say this is this. We are not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. See, and when we serve, we say to others, "I see you. I value you." When we meet someone else's need, when we do good to others in a society that wants to discredit others, in a society that wants to, in some way or another, cause others to feel like they're less than, we get a chance as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, through our good works, through our ability to serve, we get a chance to say to people, not even by our words, but by our actions, that I see you. You're not invisible to me. You matter to me. And not only do you matter, you are valuable. And just as I am a masterpiece of God, guess what? I got good news for you. You can be a masterpiece of God too, because you are created in his image, and he wants you to know Jesus like we know Jesus. What a blessing. I'm so impressed this morning with our Crossings kids and student staff and volunteers. The last couple of weeks they've been going to camp. Kids been having a wonderful time, a lot of fun. They wore out some of the people who are in here listening to me now. They wore out. Yeah, you're in here. If you were at camp, if you were my age, yes, you went home and got some sleep, right? But one of the things that stood out to me was the Crossings Kid Camp. You see the picture there. In the Crossings Kids Camp, with all of the fun that they were having, and they were with so many kids, they took the opportunity to have a missions experience. And it was an experience that allowed them to get a sense of what it's like to be unhoused. Now, I can't relate. I can't personally relate, because I've had a roof over my head, thanks be to God, all of my life. But if the people listening to me, you know what it's like firsthand to be unhoused. There are many different dynamics that cause people to be in a situation where they are unhoused. And I've talked to people that they were just shocked upon losing their job and not having recurring income, how quickly they were in a situation where they didn't know how their ends are gonna meet. But our kids in camp, having fun, took time out in this mission experience to get an appreciation for people who are unhoused. And what they did, what that picture is showing, is they not only got a sense of what it would be like, they also served. They took action to create hygiene kits for those individuals who were unhoused. And we were able to take those hygiene kits that those kids created to people who were unhoused. They were saying to those people, even though they've never met them, I see you. And I value you enough to provide this hygiene kit so that you know that you matter. And yes, even though you're unhoused, you mean something to us, but you also mean something to God. I want to appreciate how we're able to do this. God prepared us to serve, but he also gives us the power to serve. We are recipients of the life-giving and life-changing power of God. And listen, being human makes us subject to weariness. I'm not the only one in here who've had weariness knock on your door. We're subject to weariness. And there's some things that can make us weary of doing good. No recognition, no visible progress, no immediate reward. No one seems to care. How about unfavorable conditions, health, in our family, in our finances, and other challenges? But what do we do when we have weariness knocking on our door? Now, in every season, we need to take some time to rest and refresh. But I'm saying in seasons that God wants us to serve, every season we ought to be serving. Even though sometimes we take time to rest, what do we do when we're at the brink of quitting? We remember Isaiah 40 and 31. He says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That is the Old Testament. I'm not asking you necessarily to excuse me, but it is the Old Testament.
But if it's God's word.
And I want you to know I'm using that Old Testament because if God ever could be our strength, God can always be our strength. I said if he ever was our strength, he can always be our strength. And Hebrews 13 and 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If you need a New Testament reference. We can remain the same because God remains the same. Seasons in life change, but Jesus remains the same. Jesus is ready, willing, and able to strengthen us in every season of our life. We can trust Jesus. And I just want to make sure that you know this is not just Pastor Mark talking to you. I'm doing my best to yield to the Holy Spirit, to share with you whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to know. So it's not really about me, it's really about following Jesus. In Acts 10:38, understand this, that when we do good to others, we are actually following the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says he did it with the Holy Spirit and power, but he went around doing good. Jesus did not quit. Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, taught the word, raised the dead, and gave his life for the people of the world. Christ did not quit in dying for us, and he does not quit in living in us. Look, every season brings its own challenges, but God equips us with strength and grace to remain faithful through all of them. But understand this, there is time between planting. The Bible calls it sowing. There is time between planting and sowing and reaping. Because Apostle Paul says, in due season, some translations say in proper time, you will reap if you do not give up. And so sometimes we will see those results in this life, and sometimes those results won't come until the life after. But I will share with you a story that Dr. Cliff Sanders, who's on staff here at Crossings Community Church, shared with me this week. I was preparing this message, and this, out of the blue, he shares with me this story, and it relates to this message. He says, Mid-American Christian University began as Gulf Coast Bible College in Houston, Texas, in 1953 to train people for ministry. It was the third Church of God college and later moved to Oklahoma City, becoming Mid-America Christian University. Its roots, however, go back to 1909, when the work of the Church of God was begun in Houston through the ministry of an African-American woman evangelist, Mrs. Annie Hill. Now, when he told me 1909 and an African-American evangelist, he got my attention. It says, through her ministry, Mrs. Thomas H. Ball embraced the Church of God message and started a Sunday school that grew into a congregation. E. Faith Stewart became its first pastor, and new churches were planted throughout the area. Look at those seeds. One of those churches, Houston First Church of God, became the birthplace of Gulf Coast Bible College. Today, Mid-America Christian University stands as a testament to the ministry that began in 1909 and to Annie Hall's conviction that God calls people to ministry based on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not race or gender. Look at God. Thank God for Ms. Annie Hall, and also who thank God for her faith and commitment to trust and serve him and for remaining firm even though she had challenging circumstances. God has not only given us the power to serve, God has positioned us to serve. And we go back to Galatians 6 and 10. It says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, it's one thing to look for the opportunities. That's one piece. But Paul was getting at something else here. Paul was also saying to us, as long as we have the opportunity. I'm going to do it. As long as we have the opportunity, he's saying, do good. Now, whether your season is public, private, prosperous, or difficult, serve God with all your heart. Again, I came across an individual this week, and I asked permission to share this with you. shared the message I would be speaking. I said, may I share this? I got a thumbs up. So there, the individual I was talking to, her name is Laura. Laura was diagnosed with stage 4 kidney cancer in 2024. And shortly after that, it moved from stage 4 kidney cancer to stage 5 kidney cancer. And then this past December of 2025, they began dialysis. And then in January of this year, is Laura, I'm using her words, January of this year, she was receiving dialysis and she flatlined. For those of you who are not clear on what flatline means, her words were, I died. I was gone. They told her when she came back, which is the great part of the story, is that she flatlined for 5 minutes. I walked through the community center last week, and guess who I see? Laura. Laura is there volunteering. Laura is there serving. And I said, Laura, how do you do it? And she said, Mark, I have to do this because of all that God has done for me. And he's giving me the privilege to share with others what he has done for me so that they too can come to know him like I know him. I stood there inside myself and just applauded Laura. And I was like, that's inspiration. If you can do it, Laura, I'm following you. I'm serving in any and every season that God gives me. So whatever season you're in right now, know this. You have a wonderful privilege. You have the preparation. You have the power. And you also have the position to serve in the community of faith, but also outside the community of faith. Keep doing good. Keep planting seeds. Keep serving and trusting God. I invite you, if you would, to select one of these questions or all three as a moment of reflection. How is God calling you to faithfully serve him in this season of your life? Who has God placed before you that needs to experience his love through your service? And for those of you who are like me, that sometimes don't know just where to start, what is one step of faith you can take this week to follow God's leading? You don't have to see all the steps, but help God show you one step, the first step. And I'll tell you, God will be there with you, and he'll bless you in the seeds that you are planting. Listen, after I pray, and you're reflecting on these questions, there will be prayer team members in the front of all of our rooms that want to pray with you and to take your needs to the Lord in prayer. And we invite you to give them the opportunity to pray with you. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for every person that's in all of these locations, those who are listening online. Thank you for your message. Oh, thank you for your music today. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. We just thank you, Lord, that we are alive. We thank you. You give us the privilege to serve. You prepared us to serve. And we thank you, Lord God, that you don't leave us by ourselves. You have given us the power. And you have positioned us with opportunities to serve. Help us, Lord, to step out in faith and keep trusting you in every season of our life as we advance your kingdom by your glory, Heavenly Father, and through your power. It is in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. Amen. Would you help me give God a hand clap of praise? Glory to his name.